The following worship service was recorded live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, today as we come to your house to worship, the world is suffering because of the illness and deaths caused by the coronavirus. We ask that you strengthen all those who fear for themselves or for loved ones who are susceptible due to a weakened immune system, age, or other condition that leaves them vulnerable. Be with healthcare providers, scientists, and the government officials who are seeking to find answers. Draw us closer to you, Father, and give us peace. We ask that you hear the joys and the concerns that were voiced aloud here this morning or held silently in our hearts. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.
The Well of Life. You met me at the well as I stood there alone, drowning in my thirst, a heart full of stone. The drowning did not fill me. It did not quench my lonely heart. Instead, I felt even more empty, so torn and falling apart. And that is where you met me. Even though you were always there, I was shattered in my longing, quiet my growing despair. Escape is what I sought, but escape I could not find. Everywhere I turned, I had no peace of mind. My thirst simply continued. No matter what I tried, I could not fill the emptiness that was so deep inside. The well could not help me. It was not the answer for my life. It was a limited vessel and offered nothing but more strife. And then I heard your voice, so calming in my storm. You heard my cry of anguish. You offered me your arm. I was afraid to take it, so used to my misery. And yet my heart began to melt and my eyes began to see. You heard my cry of help, so tired living in my will. You knew I was ready to listen and be still. You knew I was sick and tired of doing things my way. You knew I had given up. I had nothing I could say. My life was a mess from the choices I had made. You smiled and said, "Are you ready to be saved?" I stood at the well of despair and no longer wanted to fall. Escape was not the answer. That is not living at all. And there you were with me, just as you always were. I just was never ready. But now my heart began to stir. So I took your hand. You so freely offered my way. And you promised me new life and said I did not have to stray. You promised me direction, to let go and trust in you, to free my hand from my mistakes. My life could be fresh and new. My thirst was suddenly quenched as I took your hand in mine. You freed me from my storm. And now I am forever thine. You removed the chains of despair that were locked so deep inside. You healed my wounds with grace as I let go of blinding pride. Because of your endless love, I live in gratitude each day. Because I know, dear Jesus, you are the life, the truth, and the way.
John 4, verses 5 through 42. So he came to Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria, as Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of his water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples, while urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his words. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The word of God for the people of God.
We're going to be in John for a little while. We've been in John for a little while. John works in patterns of three. I'm giving you time to get a pencil and something to write on, by the way. Your bulletin's handy, so and you can write along the edges and things, because you only need to write two or three things down. But the Gospel of John, John likes to work in threes. He's about fear and faith. He's about the disciples don't get it. They don't figure it out. But he likes to work in threes. Now, this is the third time that we have John using the illustration, the image of water. We get it in the baptism of Jesus. We get it in the Nick at Night stories we talked about last week. And now this week with the woman at the well. Now, I want you to notice in the first one, it's a discussion. It is Jesus actually in the water, getting baptized. And then the second one, it's a discussion about that water and being born of the water and the Spirit. And now this time, she never does dip any water. Anyway, we'll get there. So three things to kind of keep in mind. First off, Jesus was dead by the year A.D. 33. Write that down. A.D. 33. A.D. 33, Jesus dead. A.D. 70, Jerusalem destroyed. A.D. 70, Jerusalem destroyed. AD 86/90, the Gospel of John written. Jesus dead at 33. Jerusalem destroyed 70 AD. John writes this gospel we're sharing to the church at Jerusalem, and it gets shared elsewhere around 86-90. It's really, really, really important that you kind of stay there with me for this message. Because Jesus is dead, John writes in the last chapter, in chapter 20, I could have wrote you all kinds of stuff, but I have done this. For if I wrote everything that Jesus did, there's not enough volumes to hold it all. So I have written you this, that you may know that Jesus is the Son of God. So John has a purpose. What do we call it, teachers? Author's purpose, right? So John has an intended readership. He's writing this letter to someone. He isn't just putting this out there, and there's 21 chapters of it. We're sharing a slice of chapter 4. So John has an intended audience, an intended readership. Now, it's important we keep this. Jesus is dead. Jesus is resurrected. Jesus has ascended. The church has begun to be established. They're meeting in small churches. We even think that by now there may have even actually been the first bishop had been appointed over the church at Jerusalem. Paul's dead. Peter's dead. All of the disciples save John are dead. He's the last one. This is the last authoritative word written, is the Gospel of John. So now here we have John writing this letter. So who's he writing it to? To the church at Jerusalem. To the church at Jerusalem, guess what? Has been destroyed. There is no longer a temple. You need to research how horrible the battle was against the city of Jerusalem. There were over, estimates are between 60 and 150,000 people killed at the battle for Jerusalem. Every religious leader was crucified. Every single one. The temple was destroyed, totally destroyed, burned, all the gold burned, the gold plating drawn out of the walls, totally destroyed. The Romans destroyed it. They destroyed it getting into Jerusalem. They destroyed it after they were in Jerusalem. Now here you have a group of people. We call it the dispersion of the Jews. They're scattered. No religion, no leadership, nothing. This is to whom John is writing. This is a mixed bag of Jews, Gentiles, and Samaritans. And John chooses this incident at the well to write to them. Okay, one more thing. What does gospel mean? Good news. So to whomever he is writing this, this which he has chose must be good news to them. Now notice in verse 4, Kent started reading in 5, that Jesus says he must go. He must go. He must go. Now, I love this passage. I love this story. No way. Go back and look at the Facebook teaching this morning for a little more information on what I can't do in worship. But I got to tell you a little story first, and it involves a well. How many of you like spiders? Snails, slugs, and leeches. Come on, you gotta like this stuff. How many of you like dark places? How many of you like damp, moldy smelling places? So far, this sounds like a great resort. I hate spiders. This is my favorite tool for a spider. If I see him, he dies. Garrett takes them and turns them loose. Not me. Them mamas is going if I can get a hold of them. I'll squish them, crush them. I know I'm bigger than they are. And I know they don't stand a chance when 265 pounds, 13 triple E finds them. They gone. Unless they get in the corner. Then it's a little harder to get at them, but I get them. When I was a kid, here's what happened. I was afraid of spiders, really, really afraid of spiders, and my daddy took a job. Now, I lived in the mountains of western North Carolina, and we had hand-dug wells. You heard me describe that for the kids. And this well that we had taken the job, daddy had taken the job of cleaning this well out. How many of you have been in a well? Come on. It's not just water that's down there. That ain't all. They couldn't get their buckets down in without a lot of worry because the roots had grown in. So now, and the roots were also taking the water away. So daddy took the job of us cleaning out this well. I'm about 8, 9 years old. Daddy's idea was to set up a tripod above it and lower me into the well. And I could take a pair of hand snippers and cut all of the roots off as he lowered me down in the well. The problem was he decided that he had to put me in head first. Anybody want to go? Lower you down. He's shining a flashlight for you. Now, folks, do you remember what the flashlights looked like back in this a long time ago? They were those silver metal things that you had to beat and shake, and it would go on. Have you ever had one of those? Yeah? Or you had those big old plastic ones with the 6-volt light, and they worked real good until you turned them face down. And because that's the way the little prongs were, it quit off. So anyway, daddy's luring me in. Guess what I meet? Spiders, slugs, snails, spider webs. Oh, my goodness. And the spiders were home. Spiders were crawling everywhere. My job was to cut all those roots out, and I did, bucket them up, what I could, some fail, until the well was cleaned out, which I did. By the time I got out of there, I no longer feared spiders, but I sure did hate them, because they ain't nothing feels worse than a spider that heads for your ear hole. You know, so I got down there, and then Daddy gave me a rake with a piece of pipe, and I had to clean the bottom of the well out. And there I found the real mess. Roots, rats, and everything else. It was horrible. Jesus is sitting at the well, and I love it. My daddy taught me many things, and one was always be busy. You always have to be doing. My daddy was a workaholic. But Jesus taught me something else. Even the Son of God got tired. It's all right to sit down at the well and rest. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. Sometimes it's okay to step away from the busy, to take some time and catch your breath, gain your thoughts. Well, Jesus is at the well, and he's kicked back, and he's relaxing. And there's the other thing about a well is you can hear the water in them. Now, how many of you can picture Jesus is tired, walking through the desert? He's been walking for about a full day now, about 11 hours that he's been walking. He's sitting at this well, and I bet he can hear the water in there. How many of you have noticed that when do you want water the most? When you don't have any. It just makes you, anyway, here comes this woman. Don't draw conclusions. Goodness gracious, don't decide that she had to come in the middle of the day because she was a bad person. She just needed to come and get a pitcher of water. She's just coming to the well to get water. And she comes, and Jesus is hanging out. Now, he's a Jew. Jesus is dressed Jewish. He doesn't hide the fact that he's Jewish. He doesn't hide the fact that he's a rabbi. They dressed a certain way. Now, Samaritans were Jews who were taken over and who had interbred and interbreed. They were nothing to Jews wanted anything to do with. They were half-breeds. They were just horrible people. Now remember, you're in 90. You're reading this in 90. Now there's no Jewish temple. Now there's no Jewish cult, so to speak, of rabbis and things. But remember, John is writing this, and now we got Jesus. The woman comes up. She ain't speaking. She's not saying anything. And Jesus asked her for a drink of water. A drink of water. She's a woman. She's a Samaritan. He's a Jew and a rabbi. This should not happen. This should not happen. Number one, it would have been customary when she saw him there that she would have left. And when he saw her coming, he would have left. There would have never been a meeting. But the persistence of him staying and hers coming, she was determined to get her water, and he was not going to leave. You see, he must go. He had to. So he comes and he says, I want a drink of water. And she looks at him and notice the condescending atmosphere and attitude that happens. How is it that you, a Jew, would ask me, a Samaritan, for a drink of water? Church, we miss, but the reader of this letter didn't miss the significance of this. But we do know the significance of what just happened. When you depend on somebody else to give you or do for you that which you cannot do for yourself, what does that mean? You're indebted. You're indebted. It means you've had to humble yourself and ask somebody else. And here a Jewish religious leader is asking a Samaritan woman for water. Folks, this is important. And the reader of this would be looking at it. Whether that reader was Jewish, Gentile, or Samaritan, they would be really interested about now. And she says, well, how do you suppose you're going to get any water? You don't have a bucket. She's almost saying, I'm not going to do it for you. How are you going to get, you don't have a bucket, you don't have a rope, the well's deep. And then Jesus turns it and he says, if you knew who was asking you for a drink of water, you would have asked him, notice it's him right now, third person we're talking, it's him, and he would have gave you the water of life. For those who come to this well and drink of this water will be thirsty, and they have to come. But if they'll drink from the water that I give them, they'll never thirst again. As a matter of fact, it'll become a well. It'll become a spring. It'll be gushing forth. It'll be flowing water. It'll be eternal life. And she says, I've got to have some of that. Where do I get it? Now let's look. Do you see what I just did? I licked my finger. I've got corona. I was noticing this woman on TV the other day. She was giving this big lecture about things you shouldn't do. She did the same thing. You know, I can't quit touching my face. You know, I can't. So I just washed my hands like I was telling Daphne. If I keep doing it, I'm not going to have any. They're going to look like the Terminator's hands or something you see on that ad. So, you know, there's going to be no skin left. It's almost all gone now. So now listen to what she says. How is it that you, a Jew, I'm in verse 9, and I'm going to go fast. How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not have things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered, if you knew the gift of God who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. The woman said, sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestors? Our. She is stressing the fact that Samaritan and Jew held a common ancestry. Do you know what that reader in 90 AD would have just got? Oh, wait a minute. That's right. We're all Abraham's children. We're all children of the promise. We're all related. Though they don't like us, something's going on here. And they would have kept reading. The woman said to him, sir, you have no bucket. The well is deep. Where do you get it? He just told her he got it from God. Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it? How many of you remember who Jacob was? Some of you don't know who Jacob was. Huh? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do you remember who Jacob was? This is important. And this reader, Samaritan or Jew, would have got it, but we miss it. I told you, we're in 90. We're reading this letter. Our church is all gone. Our communities are all destroyed. The city's in ruins, and we don't know what to do. Oh, wait a minute. There was a promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jacob had a fight with God at the Ford of Jabbok. Remember the story? Got it? Jacob has the fight, and what happens just before dawn? The angel touches him, or God touches him in the hip, but he still won't turn loose. He said, I'm not turning loose until you give me a blessing. And God says to him, therefore, from henceforth, you shall be known as Israel. Israel joined all of the tribes together. This isn't lost on the reader of this text. They're all now together. Are you greater than our? She connected with Jesus. She connected with the Jews. She connected with the Samaritans. It became inclusive. And she goes on. Are you greater? Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will get. Jesus is about to tell her something here, isn't he? If they'll drink of the water I will give them, they'll never be thirsty. The water that I give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. And the woman said to her, sir, give me of this water that I'll never be thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. And Jesus says, go tell your husband. Go tell him to come over here. That's not the answer she wanted, but it's the answer she needed. She said, I don't have a husband. She said, you're right at answering that. I have no husband, for you've had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true. The woman said to him, sir, I see you are a prophet. A prophet. We've went from a Jew. Now she says, I see you are a prophet. Write down the word Nabi. N-I-B-I, Nabi. It's a Hebrew word. You're going to learn a little Hebrew this morning. Not the guy that runs the sandwich shop, but you're going to learn a little Hebrew. Nabi. Nabi equals or means seer. Seer. One who sees. One who has divine vision. Every prophet in the Jewish faith were Nabi, seers. And they would tell the people the vision in their head while laying on their bed that God had given them. They were seers. And now she has called Jesus a Nabi, a seer, a prophet. You're telling me things of God. You're revealing to me things of our God. I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain. It had been divided, Israel in the north, Judah in the south. But Jesus just brought it all back together. And now she says, we worshipped up here, but you Jews say that the place where people worship is in Jerusalem. And Jesus said to her, woman, now, you know I told you about verily, verily, and surely I say unto you, and those things, I told you those warnings. This is a lighter version of that. Woman, believe me. Pay attention. Believe me. The hour is coming. Remember, you're in 90. You're reading what was been said in 30. You're reading this. Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Ooh, in 90. The temple's gone. The stronghold of Shechar was also destroyed as the Roman army marched on Jerusalem. This very Samaritan town that Jesus would go to and stay for 2 days is destroyed by Titus as he marched on Rome, or marched on Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is of the Jews. The promise was that the Messiah would come from David's lineage, the house of Jesse. He's wrapping it up. He's tying it up all together, and she's getting it. She's getting it. But the hour is coming and is now here. You're reading this in 90. It's like he had a looking glass, wasn't it? When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such as are these to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And then she says, I know that the Messiah is coming. I know. Personally, I know. I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping for it. And notice what he does next. Jesus said to her, I am He. The first great prophet of the whole of the Old Testament, and to the Jews even today, the greatest prophet of the Old Testament was Moses. For he set the people free. How many of us remember Moses' first meeting with God? Burning bush. Burning bush, right? And Moses goes to see why it's burning, da 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 da. And finally God says, I want you to go down, set my people free. And what does Moses say? He says, well, you know, I can go down there, but I stutter, don't speak good. But who do I tell them sends me? Who does God say? I am. I am He. I am He. I am the Messiah. Oh, I wonder what that Samaritan woman thought when the Messiah had come to her. You see, he had to come to Samaria. He had to see these people. He had to witness to these people. He had to share the good news. I am He, the one who is speaking to you. And then the disciples show up and the party's over. You know, they just crash things. They catch Jesus talking to a woman, a Samaritan, at a well, by himself. Scandal. Scandals broke out. How can you do this again? We're in trouble again. And she runs off. She leaves her pitcher. There's evidence that she was there. She goes back, and they know, she's going to tell. And she does. She goes back, and she tells people she was respected in the town. And she told the men what had happened, what she'd experienced. And they leave, and they head out to the well. And Jesus is over there with his disciples. You need to eat. Something's wrong with you. We need to dip something. She left the pitcher. Whatever. You need to eat, right? And Jesus says, you don't understand. Sowing and reaping's going on here. And even now, they're headed this. Jesus saw them coming. He had planted the seed in her. And she had went and planted the seed in her city. And now they were coming. And they come out and they meet with Jesus. And they hear Jesus and they say to come and stay with us, and he does. I don't know where the disciples went. It don't say that they went with him. It don't say if they camped out at the well. It don't say what happened to them. But we do know that Jesus went, stayed with them 2 days. And as they were leaving, and the time had come, they said, we don't believe anymore because of your witness, but we believe because of his. And we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. 90 AD, Samaritans, Jews, and Gentiles have just heard, read in their presence, or read this letter that reconciled the differences, proved that Jesus was the Son of God, Jesus was the Messiah, and the Savior of the world. What more good news could they have received? What more good news could we receive? There was more than water at this well. But Jesus made some promises. As I finished cleaning up that well and mucking it out and doing all the stuff, I could look up and see the roots were cleaned. The well was open. All the stuff that I could get out of the bottom of it was out. And I could hear fresh water running into that well. For it was dug out in a large cistern in the bottom. And I got Daddy to put me down in there to where I was in the water. And the water was clearing up. And the fresh water was coming in. And Jesus says to her, I'll give you a spring of water that comes up. Living water, moving water, changing water. For God is about eternal life that changes our perspective, that changes our purpose, that gives hope when there isn't any. There's more going on here than just a meeting and a thirsty person. But the world is thirsty. The world is hurting. The world is in doubt. You know people all around you today who are hurting, who are struggling with depression, who are struggling with decisions. It's all around us today. Folks, we need to learn the message of the woman at the well, that God is our hope. And you know, there's something else that I really enjoy about this text in closing. He came to her. I am so glad that despite my faults, despite my failures, despite my shortcomings, and they are many, God has never given up on me. And he's never given up on a one of us, Gentile or Jew, Samaritan, slave or free. We've never fallen so deep or so far that God's hand isn't extended to lift us up. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Father, may we learn the lesson at the well, where the brokenness was healed, where the lost was found, where the good news was shared, where hope was given, where a life of brokenness, where a life of uncertainty, where a life filled with challenge, but also where a life that was looking, waiting, and hoping to see and know the Messiah. She never thought it would be at that well. Father, help us to know that you meet us where our need is. You meet us. You reach out to us. You don't push us away. You offer us grace. And Father, for each one of us here this morning, I am sure that sometimes you have felt distant and far away, but you have never been. There have been times when we maybe even have doubted your existence, but that didn't change that it was real. For in the midst of all of this text, Jesus says, you are spirit, and that you are to be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Father, may we humble ourselves to know you are near, no matter where we may be. Even when we don't think you are there. Heal our brokenness, strengthen our weakness. Inform our witness, strengthen our example, and let us serve you in all that we do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. May we know God with us, in us. May we know that God wants to have in us a spring of living, flowing water, a resource for our soul, our service, for our love and grace that we may share it. And now may God's grace and peace go with you, bless you, and keep you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rocksprings.umc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.